In the 2 months since the election, there's been a few things done. Bligh's shaken up the parliamentary committee system. She's reduced the number of government boards. But amidst the plethora of inane press releases, Anna Bligh urges families to walk their children to school. Anna Bligh announces literary prizes. Anna Bligh does this and does that. It seems as if the bureaucrats and party machines and inane public relations people have taken over again. And I don't see the hopeful Anna Bligh that we saw in the last days of the campaign coming to the lead again. So what are the fundamentals? The received wisdom is there's not much wiggle room for Bligh and the Queensland government. The long-term problem of Queensland is that it has a fast-growing population, but it's also a good state to weather a recession. Winter is like summer in the southeastern states, so if you're going to be unemployed, then it might as well be near a Queensland beach. But Queensland has the worst social and economic infrastructure over a huge land mass, as well as an energy and resource-hungry concentration of population in the southeast. Queensland's prosperity over recent years has been driven by natural resources, which are highly vulnerable to economic downturns and also to the new dictates of the climate change agenda. Under Premier Beattie, an effort was made to promote particularly biotechnology as the basis for a smart state of the future. Brisbane has a natural cluster of health institutions, universities, government research organisations and pharmaceutical research organisations. But only the smallest steps have been taken, and governments have relied too much on the inane public relations press release. To truly give Brisbane a chance to meaningfully participate in the century of biology will require billions of dollars of investments and a degree of risk-taking and practical detail planning that is just not in evidence, and a blueprint that just does not exist. To meet population challenges, infrastructure needs, and to diversify the Queensland economy will require a quantum change in the actions and thinking of government and the private sectors. It's notable that many of the mainstays of the failed Babcock and Brown Infrastructure Bank all hailed from Brisbane. Many were ex-Queensland public servants. Let us hope they have not come back to government. But is there really nothing that government can do? Queensland under Labor and Conservative administrations has traditionally had the most conservative fiscal policy of any Australian state. Balanced budgets and surpluses, low taxes and charges, and very poor levels of social and economic infrastructure have retarded the state's development. When you see the appalling circumstances that people with disabilities face in Queensland, then it becomes clear that this ostensibly responsible budget policy comes at a cost of people's lives. On the economic infrastructure front, you can drive the distance from Texas to Chicago in Queensland's north on the main highway, which is little more than a cattle dirt track. Even if Australian governments were prepared to finance infrastructure with half the levels of comparable UK and US debt, progress would be made. But the ridiculous tyranny of the state's credit rating rules. The analogy is of a promising business with manifold opportunities that is prohibited from investing or borrowing to make productive investments, and therefore flounders and operates at half the capacity that it could. Such is the wisdom of the Queensland Treasury over decades now. Will Bligh have the courage to embark on the state's first expansionary fiscal policy and address the state's enormous infrastructure deficit, particularly in the north of the state? I have no confidence that she will. When you read Anna Bligh's maiden speech and scan her ministerial appointments and achievements, there's nothing like the fire of her mentor, Anne Warner, as a contrast. It would be so great to hear a passionate speech from Anna Bligh about something she believes in. It'd be so great to hear any Labour politician make a passionate speech. But what has driven Bligh, like most Labour administrations, are immediate problems. The art of politics is a kind of problem-solving practicality linked to political spin. Since the street marches and feminist radicalisation of the 1970s and early 1980s, there have been few long-term planning and thinking documents. The party itself has killed off all forums for discussion and intellectual development. These are distractions from the main game of manipulating the media, parliament, winning elections, and most importantly, running the administration. Ideas, thoughts, and critical debate only have limited scope behind closed doors or in manipulatable forums. The danger for Bligh is that it will all be over relatively soon, and nothing will have been done about the big issues of Queensland. The question is, how does a politician like Bligh not only stay in touch, but develop some sort of forward agenda for the state? The usual resort is to a stable of Labour bureaucrats who revolve through the various state and federal Labour administrations. But these bureaucrats are as stale and clueless as many politicians. The tendency is to create either a sea of mindless, regulatory, nanny-like, symbolic structures or gestures, or, on the other extreme, some form of zipless handout with immediate political payoffs at election time. The politicians have become bureaucrats, and the bureaucrats have become politicians. We need a new kind of practical public sector leadership, a new era of public entrepreneurship. The federal Labor government's new broadband company is one hope. The concept is to set up a private company under public ownership for a limited time to achieve a strategic objective. The plan is to deliver new generation broadband to Australian households. This is not old public sector or old private sector, but a combination to achieve a private strategy for a limited amount of time. A completely new set of personnel will be required to run these new enterprises. To succeed, top-notch private sector managers that are not necessarily on the front pages of the business magazines, that are not popular with their peers but know how to get a job done, are needed. I'm thinking of people like Brendan Hammond, who recently resigned from the Australian Economic Covenant because he was disgusted with not only the government and spin, but the private sector orientation towards spin and symbolism. It is very rare that such characters are given the scope to really do a job. They're almost extinct within the public sector and rare within the private sector. There are several issues that one would hope Bligh will swiftly resolve. The decriminalisation of abortion in Queensland remains to be finally completed. This is a minimal expectation from Queensland's first elected female leader. Incredibly, this would mean removing three sections, 224, 225 and 226 of the Criminal Code 1899, Queensland. Abortion would then be regulated in the same way as other medical procedures. Doctors and allied health staff providing this service would be accountable for safe and competent practice through legislation and the regulations already in place. Abortion would be lawful if undertaken with the consent of the woman and by a medical practitioner. Then there is Queensland's Indigenous rights and social and economic development. Queensland Indigenous people have been behind the rest of the country for decades. Anne Maria Bligh's mentor, Anne Warner, once said in advocating recognition of native title rights that we in Queensland have the chance to recognise the reality of our past rather than the mythology that we've grown up with, and we look forward to a just future. But the fact is that Labor have been useless in doing anything other than symbolic gesturing. At minimum, there needs to be a plan of development in which the native and historical people settlements across Queensland are given a minimum set of entitlements, including perpetual investment funds, enabling organisations that promote economic and social innovation, recognition and investment in cultural law, and traditional authority structures. And all of these things must be free of bureaucratic interference and with an ever-present offer of advice and support when requested. Instead of this, the Queensland government is still reluctant to even give back the wages that were stolen from wards of the state and Indigenous peoples who worked as virtual slaves in state-regulated cattle stations, missions, and households until late in the 20th century. It defies belief, and Bligh should be ashamed if she leaves government without undertaking a major revolution and a major revolution in investment and support of Indigenous people in Queensland. The jury is out on Anna Bligh. Many are optimistic. One thing's for sure. If Queensland's problems and opportunities are to be taken up, then Anna Bligh will have to move out of her comfort zone. She'll have to move away from being the practical political manager. And she'll have to move into the future as a developer and practical planner, not a passive manager. She will also have to do something about the culture of her government. It needs to be open for business and entrepreneurial. And this is very different from being seen to be open for business. And it's not just a matter of abolishing a series of redundant boards and authorities. That's called housekeeping. People of Queensland deserve something more than this. In the last days of the Queensland election, we caught a glimmer, a possibility, that Anna Bligh might be a politician very special in her time. There is nothing more disheartening than to see a person reach the heights of political office coming from a background in which you would think there'd be a passion to get things done. And to see this shattered in the usual Labor administration. Let us hope that something like the Pacific Adventurer hits the Queensland government and forces that Anna Bligh that we saw to come out and stay permanently around in Queensland.